Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Eric Dishman, director of NIH's Precision Medicine Initiative Cohort Program. When you think of health care and health IT in particular, you think of interoperability and access. So shifting to that, you know, what role do you think your efforts will play in either, you know, advancing the goal of IT interoperability amongst health systems?
It's going to be a tremendous test bed for things in the context of research that, quite frankly, need to happen outside of research. You know, we're really proud. We've been working with the Office of the National Coordinator and others on and the seven or eight top electronic health record vendors in this Sync for Science program. And that's really trying to make it so that it's as easy eventually as the touch of a button for somebody to say, I want to donate my clinical information, some or all of it, to research, including the Precision Medicine Initiative Cohort Program. And, you know, in doing that, you have to start to face the realities of interoperable or lack of interoperable EHRs and how are we going to set all that infrastructure up to be able to make it easy for people to share their data and to have the right and choice to go do that. So that's a good example where for research purposes, we're going to learn how to do things that quite frankly would be good for all of healthcare practice, right? We're going to learn for research purposes because we've committed as a value to give people back information about themselves who are a part of the study. We're going to be on the cutting edge of learning how to all of this mobile and wearable data that many of us have in our smartphones. Well, first of all, is it clinically useful or meaningful? We don't know, all right? And we'll be collecting that data so that we can do the research. How do you appropriately give people information back about these new data types of genetics or mHealth, as it's often referred to, right? So we'll be on the cutting edge of doing that and learning how to do that for the providers that are in our health provider organizations that will help, you know, at least give a head start to those as this becomes a more common cultural phenomena. We have to be using cutting-edge security. We'll be a huge target. And it probably, it's my other big, most immediate tactical worry, right, is are we using the best 21st century known methods for security and having industry and government experts sort of make sure and we're going through a FSMA certification process for your listeners out there who know what that painful process but important process means, right? So, you know, the other aspect of this is we have to skate to where the puck is going in Wayne Gretzky's terms, right? We're building a current platform, but we have to build it in a way knowing that even 3 years out, there may be wearables or genetic testing capabilities that we can't imagine that we're going to have to add into our platform somewhere. And so how do we build both a technical platform as well as the program? I said to people today, we need a competitive analysis shop. Right, that's looking at what all the other cohort programs are doing, not really because we're trying to compete with them. In fact, we're already doing partnerships with other cohort programs to learn from them. Best practices, how do we share data? How do we analyze data across your cohort and our cohort in a meaningful way? But how do we make sure that we are going to where the trends are and also trying to anticipate cost curves on technologies that today I couldn't afford to put into the homes of a million people, but maybe 3 or 4 years out I can.
Yeah. I mean, besides these technical issues, you know, your effort, the success and longevity of your effort really will be influenced by, you know, laws, regulations and policy surrounding research, data, security, privacy. You've pointed that out. So what is being done to address gaps or conflicts in these areas?
Well, I mean, one of the things that came right out of the gate, and it's back to the privacy and security issues, is, you know, the White House worked with experts in and outside of government to help develop these privacy principles and security principles that we're, again, an early poster child or should be and will be for exhibiting. And certainly inherent in those is the right for people to have their own data, but also then dealing with all the security and credentialing issues that actually come with that. There's different state laws that we're finding around the return of results. I mean, right now, even if we were doing, you know, either genotyping or whole exome or whole genome sequencing right out of the gate, and we're not, different states have different laws about the return of that information to individuals and even different rules about consent. So understanding those and then, you know, continuing the, you know, if you think about HIPAA and sort of the spirit and parts of the letter of HIPAA say, you know, you own your own data. But we all know that it, and as a proactive patient like me and for the more than 1,000 cancer patients I've advocated for, you know, the getting of your own data, even though it's written down in statute somewhere, proves quite difficult. So, you know, as we think about the future of new data types and so forth, how do policies and laws need to adjust to you know, the facts on the ground that most people aren't getting it, even though the technical potential is actually there to do it.
So from your perspective, you know, given your background and now your current role, how do you balance this accessibility versus the data security? How do you make that balance?
I mean, this gets back to my first principle of leadership in terms of transparency, right? I mean, I don't want to tell everybody there's no way that we'll be hacked because it's an impossible promise to make. And if somebody's making that promise to you, then they're not being authentic with you, right? All we can do is communicate these are the measures and the rules that we're actually taking. And if there is a breach, here's what we promise to do to communicate to you and others, right? And so trying to weigh, you know, there are patient advocacy organizations, and my gosh, there's an Eric Dishman that's joined those and would be at the front of the line of those saying, give me all my raw data as soon as possible. But there's real ways in which the raw data without context can harm a lot of people. So, you know, thinking through these issues with the FDA and others, it's just a careful mix. And I think it'll be different by data type, and a lot of it depends on how much science and evidence is behind these kinds of things. And as well as there's a cost to returning data to people that you have to be honest. It's like, hey, it's not hard for me to return your data to. It's when it's this and this. I just have to remind everybody, you know, people. I get people walking up to me on the street saying, hey, you should give everybody a wearable watch. That's, and I'm like, how much is that? And they're like, oh, $120. I said, multiply that by a million, right? I want to show people what we're striving towards and what we're trying to do, give them a timeline and what are the criteria by which we would need to do, to get to before we can say we'll do this or we'll do that, so they can understand the logic that you're walking through carefully in making some of these decisions. There's no doubt that the PMI cohort program is a champion for open data, right? Open doesn't mean it's not secured. Open means we want researchers of all types, not just the tier one, you know, top universities who already do this kind of work to get access to it. So we're looking at how can high school students use this data for research and how do we prop up programs and things that encourage that. And there's no doubt that we're serious about security. Both are true, and they interanimate with each other. And in the places where it's complicated, we just say this is the way it is, and we don't know how to give you this data back in a right and ethical and secure way. Help us figure that out.
So, Eric, a study of such scale, scope, and breadth and depth involves a serious infrastructure. And I'd like you to explain to us certain structures that you're building, and they are the Data Research Support Center, the Participant Technology Center, biobanks, and healthcare provider organizations. What are these structures?
So the DRC, the Data and Research Support Center, so that award went to Vanderbilt and to Verily and to the Broad Institute with a number of partners underneath them. Think of them as hosting and housing all of this data that's coming in and protecting it, as well as building out the tools that researchers will be using to be able to analyze it and access it. The PTC, the Participant Technology Center, is much more the front end, right? So they're developing the application that will go on the phone. They're developing the 1-800 number. They're developing the and they're developing the capacity for all those direct volunteers for us to be able to get that blood draw and pull them into the system if they're not associated with the health provider organization. The biobank goes to Mayo, so they store these samples, freeze them very carefully in very careful tubes. I've spent more time learning about the tubes that freezers can last in freezers for decades than I ever thought, and there's an unbelievable science to it, and the facility there is just incredible. Some of the challenges are is we need to get those samples wherever they are in the country centrifuged very quickly and shipped within 40 hours from anywhere in the country, and we need to be able to do that nights and weekends. Many of our participants could not get off work to come and engage. So we're setting up 24/7 capacity on nights and weekends to go do that. So the biobank and Mayo are actually doing that piece. And then the health provider organizations range from large integrated delivery networks to a small federally qualified health center in a rural part of the country. And they will be educating their members and recruiting them and signing them up and doing the consent, helping them walk through their initial surveys if they don't want to take them online, and then doing the physical exam and the capture of you know the urine and the blood. And they immediately have some processing that they need to do, and then it gets shipped through different courier services to that biobank.
Why is science more of a marathon than a sprint? We will ask Eric Dishman, director of NIH's Precision Medicine Initiative Cohort Program, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.